Book of Ruth, chapter number 2. We'll begin in verse number 15. Ruth, chapter 2, verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she shewed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is a near of kin unto us, one of our near kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, 'Thus shalt thou keep fast by my young men until I have ended all my harvest.'" And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou goest out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So again, Nehemiah, in his writing, and by the writing of Moses, there was no Moabite should come into the congregation of the Lord, never, forever. But by the hand and the grace and the mercy of God, Ruth is brought into the family of God in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is, you know, the grandmother of David, a man after God's own heart. So I'd like to just look at a few verses, and you know it's hard to look at a few verses in this, but maybe we'll just look as we could walk down through this chapter. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, verse number 1, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So here is Ruth. She's come from Moab with Naomi. And I would imagine it looks like that Naomi may very well be to an age that she's not able to go out and glean. She's not able to go out and to stoop over and to bend and to bow all day long. But Ruth is going to go out. And she said, "Let me go out." You know, isn't it wonderful? And I would say this. You know, if I'm going to get anything from God, I'll tell you, I'm going to have to bow down. I'm going to have to be willing to humble myself before God. And you might say, "Well, I don't think that's necessary." Well, you know, as I look at this scripture, I'd like for you to just think about how it progresses. That Ruth comes from Moab to Bethlehem to the field of Boaz, to the threshing floor, to the marriage. You talk about a progression. You talk about being brought up. And you know, that started with a very humble beginning. And she said, "Let me go out and glean. Let me go out and glean wherever, to whoever, in whoever's sight I might find grace." Verse number 2. And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And you know where she ended? We know this.
We know that the Bible said that she went and she came and she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. You know, from Ruth's perspective, it's just a happenstance. It's just by chance. But I say this, by God, there is no chance. There's no chance with God. I tell you, God, as we tried to think about a week or so ago, God declares the end from the beginning. The Lord had this mapped out from the very beginning. And I'd like for you to think about this, that from Ruth's perspective, her hap was to light. It just so happened that she lit on Boaz's field. But look at verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto near of kin unto us, and Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." You know what Naomi saw? Naomi saw the providence of God. Now Ruth maybe didn't see that, but Naomi saw the providence of God, that God was so kind and so gracious unto her, not only to her, but to Ruth and her, that God let her fall into the field of Boaz. Naomi recognizes the providence of God. You know, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, we ought to always keep our eye and keep our ear tuned and listen and see what God is doing. This is not a happenstance. This is not by chance. This is not by the luck of the draw. Almighty God had this in order, and Ruth ends up in the field of Boaz. And you know, when he comes to the field, I tell you, as soon as he acknowledges to the reapers, he wants to know, who is this damsel? Who is this? You think God is not aware of where you are? What about a woman that come from Moab, and her hap was to light on the field of Boaz, and the first thing after saluting the reapers, saluting the man over the harvest, he said, "Who is this damsel?" I tell you, thank God that the Lord would look and have mercy upon us. That the Lord would even recognize, that the Lord would even pay attention. Now, who is she? I tell you what she is. She's a beggar. That's what she is. And you can say whatever you want to, but the truth is, she's there to pick up what's left. She's there to pick up the corner maybe that they left, what they dropped, what the reaper didn't get in his cradle, what the reaper didn't bind up in the bundle. She's there to pick it up straw by straw, head by head. She is there to pick up whatever might fall her lot by the providence of God. And here's the man that's over the harvest. Here's our heavenly Boaz. And you know what he says? "Who is this damsel? Who is this damsel that I see in the field?" And you know something? He already knows about her. You know, they're going to tell him. They're going to tell Boaz who this is. But he's already heard about her. Isn't that something? That the Lord of the harvest already knows about Ruth. He's already aware of the kind of person she is. Already aware of what she's left. Already aware of what kind of woman she is, what kind of a virtuous woman she is. He is aware of everything about her. God Almighty is already aware. A friend, before you ever come in the field, He already knows about you. I'm glad that we're serving of God that knows all, and He knows all
beforehand. I tell you, thank God we're not serving a God that has to react to what I do or is going to change plans or change horses in midstream. Thank God we've got a God who orders the end from the beginning. We've got a God, and you just think about how the providence of God is working in this little woman's life. The Lord is going to bring her into the family. Bring her into the family of Boaz, the family of Jesse, the family of David, and the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to bring her in the family. And when you go down and you read Matthew chapter number 1, you know what you're going to find in there? You're going to find Ruth, the Moabitess, in the lineage of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to find someone that was supposed to be left out, someone as far as the law was concerned, as far as natural was concerned, as far as the world was concerned, someone that ought to have been left out.
Right.
What can I say about me?
Yeah.
I could say about me, I should have been left out. I could say that about me. But let's walk on down through this. So Ruth is there gleaning and has been gleaning. And by the word of God, Boaz is going to speak to her. She come there, and Boaz says this. Boaz answered and said unto her, verse number 11. Boaz says, "It hath fully been shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Now you might say, well, she's going to be blessed because of her working. I'm going to say yes and no. I'm going to say this, that she's going to be blessed naturally because of her natural work. But she is going to be blessed spiritually, not because of her natural work, but because of the grace of Boaz, because of the kindness of Boaz, because Boaz is going to have mercy and grace upon this woman. Friend, she is going to find the favor of Boaz. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? Maybe we might be reading it a little bit early, but we'll refer to it again. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul says, "We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." You know what Paul was? Paul considered himself to be a laborer with God. You know what's going on right here? Ruth is laboring in the field of Boaz, but Boaz is making it where she can glean, where she can gain, where she's blessed beyond. I tell you, she's going to go to her mother-in-law at the end of the day, and her mother-in-law is going to look at what she brings in, and she's going to say, "Whose field have you been in today? I have never in my life seen a gleaner come in at the end of the day and have in their apron, have in their veil what you've got in yours." There was someone that took attention, someone noticed you, someone blessed you, someone you found favor in someone's eyes today. I've never seen a gleaner come in and her sack, her apron, her veil be full like yours is. You know why that is? Because of Boaz. That's why. Listen to what the Bible says. And we'll not be able to cover all of this, but just a little bit. So she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight," verse 13, "for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thy handmaidens." You know what? I would say, the truth be known, she looked different than all the Israelites. She looked different than all the Bethlehemites. She looked different than all the people around that area. And you know what? She wasn't like one of them.
But I tell you, thank God, the Lord. The Lord had mercy upon us in spite of what we look like, in spite of our ungodliness, in spite of our sin, in spite of what the law said, in spite... What about that woman down there? What about that woman that they brought down to the Lord Jesus? And they said, Lord, we caught her in the very act of adultery. What do you think we ought to do to her? Moses' law says we ought to stone her. What do you say? You know what the Lord said? How the Lord bowed down as though he didn't hear what they said. And finally, they went on and on and on, and he said, you that are without sin, you cast the first stone at her. You be the one that cast the first stone. Aren't you glad for the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that the Lord looked upon us and all of our sin and all of our wickedness and all that said reject, all that said, why don't you rail on them? Don't you imagine how that Ruth, and don't you imagine that most of the gleaners, that the owner of the field, a lot of them said, what are you doing here? Though the law said they could be there. The law said they could be there. But the attitude of the owner of the field, a lot of them, was to run them off. A lot of them was, why are you here? A lot of them is, what are you doing here in my field? But I thank God for a heavenly Boaz that didn't have that attitude toward me. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, He looked upon me and had mercy. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou thither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. You know what happened? I tell you, the one that was the master and the husband of the field, he had something to hand to her individually. He had something to satisfy her. And as Morgan said this morning, you know what he had? He had more than what she could ask for. He gave her more than she could eat, more than she needed to satisfy her. And you know what she's going to do? She's going to take what she had left over home to her mother-in-law. She's going to take that was satisfying to her, and that filled her belly, and that filled her heart, and that satisfied her need and her longing and her desire and her want. I tell you what she had. She had more than what she needed. And friends, she took that home out of share with somebody else. Would you say that God has blessed you with more? Would you say that when you got done and you give your two fishes and five loaves, friend, that you got 12 baskets full? Would you say that you've had an abundance, that God Almighty has provided more than you thought, more than you asked for, more than you expected, more than you could eat? He gave you to where your cup was running over. You know, if our cup's not running over, if there's not anything extra to share, why is that? Why is that? Is there any shortage with Boaz? Is there any shortage? I thought about this. You know, when she come to the field, the plowing was done. The disking was done. The rocks were gathered out. The grain had been sown. It had been watered. It had been fertilized. It had sunshine. And the reapers was there gathering the goodness of God. Is that not when you come to the field? Didn't you come to the field when the work was already done? Didn't you come to the field even when she came to the field, the reapers was already working, and friend, what she was going to gather was already laying there for her to pick up. All the work, I tell you, thank God, the labor and the work and the hard stuff has already been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we are? We're blessed to be able to be in His field. I didn't do this work. He did the work. He did the providing. He paid the cost. He gathered out the rocks. He built the tower. He put a wine press in. He sowed it with the best. He did the work. And friend, you know what he does? Out of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God, he invites us in and says to us, don't you go to another field. I don't want you to go over there. I don't want you to go anywhere else. I want you to stay in my field. I want to take care of you. I want to love you. I want to care for you. I want to provide for you. I want to do something for you that nobody else can do for you. I tell you, we've got a heavenly Boaz that's got a desire that you abide in his field. Don't go anywhere. I don't want you to go anywhere else. And she sat down and he reached her parched corn. And when she got up to leave, now you ask me, you tell me, why did he do this? Did she have any right to it? Any merit? Was there anything in her that would instigate him to act this way? For love's sake. For kindred's sake. She's near kinsman. He's a near kinsman to her. For love's sake, he goes beyond the call of duty, doesn't he? Listen to what he says. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. You know, most likely the sheaves were probably stacked up through the field, and the gleaner didn't get to go there. Most likely, she had to work in some other part of the field where all of the sheaves was gathered up if there was anything left. But you know what he did? He let her glean among the most lucrative, the most blessed place. He let her glean right there. And he said this. He said, let also some handfuls of purpose. Now you think about that he told the reapers, he said every now and then, he said when you go out there and you make a swath and you grab that, gather that up, and there's that little handful, he said you just let that fall on the ground for her. I want you to do that, not because she deserves it, not because you deserve it, but because of the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of Almighty God, he lets some handfuls of purpose, and you know what he's doing? He's drawing us in. He's pulling us in with his love, is he not? I mean, if you were working in a field, and instead of picking up one straw at a time, you went down through there, and if you counted out, there was a little bundle, and there was 25 straws in that one bundle. Would you want to leave that field and go to a field where they rebuked you, where they railed on you, where they shamed you? You know what he's going to do? I tell you, he's not going to let him shame her. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and let also some handfuls of purpose fall for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So that word right there means to shame. Reproach her not. Verse number 15. Don't shame her. Don't humiliate her. Don't insult her. Don't you do any of that. I tell you, and you know what he said earlier in the chapter? He said, I've commanded the young men that they touch you not. You talk about protection. I tell you that Almighty God had his hand, a friend, over you. You know, you think about a reaper. Just think about a reaper spiritually. And he said, you don't lay your hand on her. I tell you, thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ brought us into the fold before the reaper came and took us to hell. He said, don't you lay your hand on her. That's mine. I'm protecting her. I'm providing for her. I'm taking care of her. I love her. I want you to do that. Don't you insult her. Don't you humiliate her. Don't you do anything to shame her. I'm providing for her. I tell you, talk about blessed by God. Don't you reproach her.
Don't you insult her. Don't you shame her. Now, you talk about getting in trouble. You're going to shame Boaz, what Boaz is going to bless? No, I tell you, you're not going to shame the Lord's. You're not going to shame the Lord. I tell you, the Lord is looking after His. Listen to what it says. So she gleaned and let fall also some handfuls of purpose. Notice this in verse number 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz gave this command. You know something, folks? It may be that God's working and we don't even know it. It may be that God is working behind the scenes and we don't even realize it. You know, he didn't want Ruth to know he was doing this for her. But he was doing it. It was his hand. It was his purpose. It was his will. And yet he hid that from her. You know something? God help us that we would be able to recognize and to think God may very well be working behind the scenes and I knew it not. Right. Isn't that what Jacob said? The Lord was here and I knew it not. I tell you what, the Lord of the harvest, Boaz, our heavenly Boaz, was working and Ruth didn't even know it. You know, she probably thought it was just her hap to get them little handfuls every now and then. No, I tell you, that wasn't her hap. That was the providence of God. That was the love of Boaz. That was the work of God working. And listen now, she was working too. You hear me? She was working too. In Philippians, Paul said, it's Him that worketh in you that we might work out. Listen to what the Bible says. Philippians chapter number 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God working in you. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, we are laborers together with God. Thank God. You know what Boaz is doing? Boaz is working behind the scenes. Ruth doesn't know it, but Ruth is laboring in the field of Boaz, and she is gleaning, and she is gathering, and she is working, and he's working behind the scene, and what she is gathering is because he is doing his work. Isn't that wonderful? That God is working. A lot of times, unbeknown unto us. God help me to work. God help me to labor. God help me to do all that I can do. Now listen. This is what the Bible says. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Did she quit? Now think. She gathered by the reaction of her mother-in-law. She was absolutely astounded at how much she gathered that day. She could have probably quit at lunch and had more than most anybody. But she did not quit. She labored till the evening. She stayed with it. She did not give up. She kept bowing. She kept bending. She kept going over. She kept stooping. She kept gathering little by little by little by little. She kept gathering until when she beat it all out, you know what? She didn't carry the stalks home. She didn't carry the straw home. She beat that out in the field and she took the good home. So let's not give up. Well, I'm saved. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you are, and I hope and pray that you really are. But you know something? Ruth had a whole lot more than what she needed for herself, a lot more than she needed for her and Naomi. In fact, what she had was enough when she beat it out, enough for both of them for 5 days. 5 days she gathered in that one day for two people. You talk about blessed of God. Now she was blessed of God. She was blessed by the hand of our heavenly Boaz. She was blessed there, but she did not quit. God help us not to get lazy because God has blessed us. If we're starving, we wouldn't give up.
But you see, if we're blessed and we're full, there's a great tendency to quit. There's a great tendency to back off. But Ruth did not back off. The Bible said, and she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So she continued, and you know something? She worked as long as there was light. I believe there was just enough light. You know, you could say that's your opinion, and it is. But I do have some other scripture. I believe she worked until she could get home by dark. I believe she labored as long as they was in the field, as long as they were reaping, as long as the field was open, as long as there was light, she was there laboring. And as long as there was light and opportunity, she was laboring. And you might say, well, you know, that seems like an awful menial task. Seems like that's an awful little thing. Seems like that's just a little. But I'd ask you this. You know, I sort of done it on a calculator. But let's take 100 pennies. That'll make a dollar, won't it? And $100 will make $100. And 100 hundreds will make 10,000. And 100 ten thousands, what'll that make? I tell you what, little by little, ladies and gentlemen, you know what she had? She had an ephah of barley. Little by little, she gleaned and she gleaned and she gleaned. And friend, it added up. It had added up to enough to make for 5 days eating for her and her mother-in-law. And I tell you, she labored after that and worked after that, and she did not quit. The Lord Jesus said, work while it's day, for night cometh when no man can work. She stayed with it while there was daylight, while there was opportunity, while there was a time. She stayed with that.
So I really believe that Naomi's surprised. So she goes home and she takes with her what she had over what she needed for lunch, didn't she? Could I take anything home? Is there anything to take home, take to the job, take to the family, anything? Anything that God's blessed us with that we could take to the family to share with them. So the Bible said, her mother-in-law said unto her, verse number 19, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. So, as you think about this, where did you glean today? Where hast thou gleaned today? So if you think about that, what have I made of the opportunity that I've had? Where have I gleaned today? Whose field have I been in? What have I gained from that? So I'd ask us, day by day, where are we gleaning? Where have our hands been? Where have our feet been? Where has our mind been? Now, you think with me. If my mind is on the wrong thing, you know what I have at the end of the day? An empty sack, an empty veil, an empty apron. At the end of the day, if my mind and my hands and my feet are in the wrong field, if I'm in the field of the devil, if I'm in the field of the world, I say this, ladies and gentlemen, she didn't go down by the wayside. She didn't go out to the wilderness. She didn't go out to the rock pile. She went to a field where there was cultivation, where there was wheat growing. She went where she could find something to eat. God help us that we find ourselves in a field where we can be fed by God. Where hast thou gleaned? This is what the Bible says. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where have you gathered? Where have you picked up? What have you done with that opportunity? What have I done? Let's just think about it like this. With the opportunity that I have, what gain, what profit have I made? What gain and profit have I made toward God,
toward the things of God, toward providing for the family, toward providing for those that are in need, toward providing for those that have no ability to provide for themselves. What gain, what profit, what have I gained today that would be a benefit and help unto them? You know, I tell you something. We can get to the place that we're just going to leave everything up to the Lord, aren't we? Well, let me ask you this. You think Ruth left it all up to Boaz? Did Paul leave it all up to the Lord? Is there something for us to do? Is there something that we ought to occupy our time and our mind and our hands with? Is there a field that I should labor in? Is there a place where I should glean? Is there, well, preacher, it just looks awful little. I tell you this, my friend, you look at Ruth. You look what she's got. I tell you what she's got. She's got absolutely nothing. She is beginning with absolutely nothing. She's beginning with a horrible past. She's beginning with a husband that's dead. She's beginning with a sister-in-law that stayed back in Moab. She's beginning with a Naomi who said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. I went out full and I come back empty." You tell me this, ladies and gentlemen. You think Ruth is on the top of the mountain? She's not on the top of the mountain. She's got as humble a beginning as you can think about. And I tell you what she's doing. She's laboring. By the providence of Almighty God, you and I are in a field of goodness. We're in a field of mercy. We're in a field of blessing. We're in a field where God has sowed and God has watered and God has fertilized. We're in a field where we can gather in something. God help us to not be lazy. Where hast thou gleaned today? Look at the provisions. Look at what Boaz did for her. Look how would she have had the provision? Would she have had the grace? Would she have had the parched corn? Would she have had five ephah of barley if she hadn't went to the field that morning? She wouldn't have had any of that. God help us to go to the field. God help us to go to the field of His Word every day, that we could go there and we could glean something out of it that would be beneficial for somebody else that has nothing. I'll tell you right now, folks, the flesh and the devil and the world is biting for your time, biting for your hands, biting for your feet, biting for your thinking, biting for your emotion, biting for your feeling, biting for your thinking, biting for your mind, that you might be so cumbered and so cumbered about that you don't have time for God, don't have, can't get your mind on God even when you try to sit down and think on Him. We're so cumbered about with the things of this world. You know what I may have to do? I may have to get rid and get out of that field for a little while that I can get focused on the right thing. I'm not going to glean. Pride. We're too blessed to glean, aren't we? Too blessed. You talk about a woman starting on the bottom. Here's a woman starting on the bottom. You know what she started with that morning? One head. One straw. One head. Half of it may have been gone, I don't know. That's what she started with. But at the end of the day, she had an ephah of barley. She had enough, ladies and gentlemen, to feed her and her mother-in-law for a week. She started out small, and I tell you that you and I will start out the same way. And I believe this. I believe if you'll show an effort and you'll show a desire and you'll show a longing and you'll dig and you'll work and you'll labor and you'll glean and you'll go to the edge of the field and you'll bow down and you'll bend over and you will stay with it and you'll persevere, I believe God will let some handfuls of purpose fall every now and then. You know, you can go to the raspberry patch, blackberry patch, strawberries, beans. You know what I'm always looking for? A place I can get it by the handfuls. Right? You know, I may have to go through a bunch of picking just two or three at a time. But as I get those two or three at a time, you know what I'm doing? I'm filling my little bucket up. And friend, it may very well be when I get through this place where there's just two or three at a time, I may be able to see on the other side of that place, I may see where they're hanging by the handfuls. And friend, I can pull them off by the handfuls. And you know something? I'm not going to get there until I get in the right field. I'm not going to get there until I'm willing to labor. I'll tell you something, folks. We need to grow. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. We need to, I'll tell you, I don't care what your age is, you're not to the point that you can't grow.
That's right.
Where hast thou gleaned today? I ask you this. How important is today? How important is today? He wrote to us in the Psalms, "Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom." You know what day Ruth had? This day. This day. This day Boaz came to the field. This day Boaz recognized her. This day Boaz spoke to her. This day Boaz handed her a blessing right off of his own hand. This day Boaz commanded his reapers, a friend, to leave some handfuls of purpose. This day Boaz, a friend, started a relationship with her that would never end. Today. You ever said this? You ever went and they said, "No, I'm sorry. We got rid of that yesterday. I'm sorry we sold that yesterday. I'm sorry we're out. I'm sorry we had those yesterday, but we don't have any more today." How important is today? How important is it? I just say this. You know how important is it? Their life is depending on her gleaning that day. Their life, not only hers, but Naomi as well. Not only Ruth, but Naomi is dependent upon Ruth as well. There is no means, no way that Naomi can do what Ruth is doing. I say this, I cannot go where Daniel is going to be tomorrow. I can't go to his place. I can't go where Jessica will be tomorrow. I can't go where Kevin will be tomorrow. I can't go where Morgan will be tomorrow. I'm not going to be there, but I'll have a field for me to work in tomorrow. And you will have a field. And where have we gleaned today?
You know, if we had a business that worked 7 days a week,
just every now and then, on the production, on the profit, there was a day with a zero. There was a day with a minus. There was a day with a loss. You know, it wouldn't take too long. Wouldn't be too long. We'd be wondering, what's going on these days? Let me look. Let me look back at the ledger. Let me look back at the timesheet. Let me look back at what's going on that day. And let's see what happened on that day that on the bottom line I come up with a zero or I come up with a loss. You ever think about that spiritually? At the end of the day, how has my day been? Am I in the red? Or am I in the black? Has this been a day of profit? I tell you, this was a day of profit for Ruth. This was a day of profit for Naomi. This is what the Bible says. Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Where did you work today? So, could we say this? What did I work at today? What was I spending my time and my effort and my labor? What did I work at today? What was my desire? What was my goal? I don't know how you do, But this is the truth. This is just the way I work, or this is the way I'm geared. You know, I got a list on the island in the kitchen. I got a list there all the time of things that I need to get done, things that I want to accomplish. And you know, every day I look at that, and there's something on that list. And I've even got it in my phone for two or three things tomorrow that I need to do. I need to make sure I get those things done. They need to be done tomorrow. And when I get that done, you know, I'm going to mark that off. I've got something accomplished today. But if I have no goal, if I have no desire, if I don't have something that I mean to get accomplished, you know what will happen? The world and the flesh and the devil will take my time. And at the end of the day, I won't have wrought on anything that matters. I'll have wrought and worked on a bunch of foolishness that will bring me absolutely no satisfaction. Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he. Here's Naomi. Here's Naomi, and she's saying, blessed be he. She don't know where she's been, does she? She don't know where she's been. But blessed be he that took notice of you. My God, how blessed that we are that God would take notice of us. How blessed that you are to be saved. How blessed that you are to be in the field of a heavenly Boaz who has got something for you to eat. Well, I'm not going to glean. Let me tell you this. Do you know that there is no law of limitation on the glean? No limit on what you can glean. You can gather everything that you would be willing to labor for. There is no law of limitation on the gleaner. Isn't that wonderful? Then I can have all. You ask yourself, is God going to limit me on His wisdom, knowledge, grace, the blessings upon my life that I seek and long and yearn and labor after? Is God going to say, no, you've reached your limit. That's all you're going to get. What do I want? Well, gleaning, that's not too pretty. No, you don't get to be the boss man. I'm sorry. In this kingdom, you know who the greatest is? The servant. The greatest in this kingdom is not the man that's the ruler over everybody, not the fella giving orders, but the fella that's taking orders and the fella that's serving and the fella that's down on the bottom of the barrel. But I want to tell you this, the man that's the boss, he's probably got a pay limit. But the gleaner has no limit on their pay. Now you can think nothing of that. But I think, my God, what could I have? What could I have being a gleaner? What could I have bowing over, bending over, kneeling down, picking up what other people leave, what other people are not interested in, what other people say is of no value? I wonder how much I could be benefited by what other people leave laying in the field. I might have to look for it. I might have to look close. I might have to bend over 1,000 times in an hour. But God has not limited what I can have. Blessed be he. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee, that looked upon you, that took care of you, that showed a special kindness, that showed favor. Did Boaz do that? He went out of his way for this lady. He went above and beyond what was required and said, let her glean among the sheaves. Let handfuls of purpose fall for her. Don't you rebuke her. Don't you shame her. Don't you do anything to hinder her. I want you to be on your best behavior toward her. I want her to be blessed. Blessed is he who took notice and knowledge of you. Can you see how blessed that you are that God would favor you? Now you might say, well, God favored the whole world. I would differ with that. God is in control of the whole world. But I tell you, if you're saved, you have had a special favor of God. If you're saved, it's just like we read a few weeks ago. God did something for you that He does not do for other people. God has blessed you in a manner that your neighbor, your friend, your co-worker, other people in your family are not blessed with. You are blessed to be in the family of God. You know what you know. You know the heavenly Boaz. You know the owner of the field. And let me tell you this. This field of barley is not all that he has. I tell you, he's got fields of wheat too. He began with a barley harvest. That was the roughest. That was the cheapest. That was the bottom grade. But I tell you what, he had some fields of wheat and she was invited to come there as well. You're invited, ladies and gentlemen. You know what the Lord said? John, come up hither. John, come up a little higher. Let me show you some more. I tell you, folks, we don't have to stay in the barley field all of our life. Almighty God has got a field of wheat, and there's a place that you and I can come up hither and see more than what we see. You've got an invitation. Oh, preacher, I don't have an invitation. You're a child of God. You've got an invitation. And I tell you what he said. He said, don't go in any other field. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. You stay with my maidens. And she, Naomi said, don't let him. Don't let his maidens see you in any other field. Don't you go over there because it looks better over there. Don't you go over there because that's a bigger field. Don't you go over there because it looks like the heads are bitter. You stay in his field and he'll take care of you. The devil will say, why don't you come over here? I'll tell you, that's why Ruth is here right now. Because Elimelech said it looks better down in Moab than it does in Bethlehem. When you leave the house of bread and you leave the house of God, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for sawbriars instead of grass. You're headed for rose bushes. It may look nice and green over there, but I tell you, when you get close and you begin to look, it's full of blackberry briars and rose bushes and thistles and thorns and a little locust. I tell you, God's got a field for you to stay in and to labor in. And when we get done with this field, we'll move on to another and it'll be better. Where hast thou gleaned? That sounded pretty personal. What do you think? Where have I gleaned? Where have you gleaned? Where have you labored? Whose field have you been in? To whose credit? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee, and she showed her mother-in-law with who she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. So who's living? Naomi and Ruth. Who's dead? Chilion and Mahlon. Her former husband. You know what's going to happen? Going to raise up seed. Going to raise up children. She's going to have a child named Obed. He's going to have a child named Jesse. And he's going to have a child named David. You know how all that started? That started that she was found in the field of Boaz gleaning. That started with her on her knees, bent over with her back broke all day long, and she stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it, and God blessed her. We are laborers together, Paul says. We beseech Christ. We beseech you through God. We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. So, just another word or two and I'll hush. And Ruth, the Moabitess, this man is next of kin. This man is our Redeemer. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God, by His providence, brings us into the field of the Redeemer? Aren't you glad that you didn't end up in a field that was all about man?
Aren't you glad that you didn't end up in a field that was all about the flesh? Aren't you glad that you didn't end up in a field of prosperity gospel? Aren't you glad that you ended up in a field where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, aren't you glad that you ended up in His field and He bought you and paid for you and married you and made you a part of the family? Aren't you glad that the providence of God you ended up in the field of our heavenly Boaz? We ought to be glad. And we ought to do this. We ought to be so glad that we'll stay there till the end of the harvest. We ought to be so glad that we'll stay there and we'll glean and we'll labor and we'll bend and we'll bow and we'll stay there until the end of the barley harvest and until the end of the wheat harvest.
Right.
And then you know what'll happen? Then it'll be told thee what you need to do. Elijah stayed at the brook, and by the word of God, the brook dried up. Is that right? Don't you imagine he had a hole dug there? I mean, if it was the size of a straight pin, he had a hole there to get some water. But I tell you that Elijah stayed there till the brook dried up and he got a word from God to go to Zarephath. We ought to stay in the field of our heavenly Boaz until God tells us what else we need to do. When the harvest is over, Naomi is going to tell Ruth what she needs to do next. Okay? So...